Anyway, we're here this morning. So this is my first time speaking from this pulpit. And it's a lot different from this side than it is from the other side. But I will say that it is a blessing to be here. And Mr. Creech told me he was going to be out of town today, and he asked me if I would bring the Sunday school lesson, and I'm thinking, Mr. Creech, are you sure you want me to do this? But at any rate, as I pondered as to what the Lord would want me to speak on, I was impressed upon the recent messages that we've heard. We are very blessed in this church, and as the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And so whenever the Lord blesses us with so many different messages, I look back on the recent ones that we've been preached to, and Pastor Garrison has been speaking about Jacob and his name change after him wrestling with God. His passage was Genesis 32, and Jacob wrestled with God face to face. Jacob was brought into submission just like we are when God convicts us over our sin. And we come to the realization that we can't do things on our own. There is a strife in our life that the old man always wants to stay in control. And so Jacob got a new name, just like we get a new name when we have a broken and contrite heart. Confessing our sins to him and giving up our old way and our old life. True brokenness and repentance over what we are by nature and asking God to change us to be like his son Jesus. And in the message that Pastor gave us, that message was a reminder that when we get saved, we have two natures. We have an old nature and a new nature. And this old nature always wants to be dominant and wants to live. And the Lord tells us that we need to put that old nature to death. We can look at Luke 9:23. It says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. These are totally different thoughts. When the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, our thoughts is we want to save ourselves. But the Lord says, to find life, you have to lose your own. And that's what he's talking about in dying daily. Paul even referenced that in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, I die daily. In Romans 13:14, Paul says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So it's like putting on the whole armor of God when we put on Christ. Putting on the whole armor of God and being dressed for the battle. Each time we walk out these doors, we're in a battle. And the battle is for our mind. The battle is for Satan trying to use us, to sift us as wheat. For the Lord to have full control, we must allow him to work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So dying is imperative for the successful and maturing Christian life. But we must always remember the flesh, our old nature, will always be with us until we're in glory. Another message recently from Pastor Garrison was about getting rid of the weights that so easily beset us. His passage there was Hebrews 12. It says how we need to be searching for what the Lord would have us to do in these last days. If there's a need, can we fulfill that need? Are we willing to deny what we want to do and be a servant to do what the Lord wants us to do? And that brings me to another lesson that we've learned by Mr. Creech recently. On a Wednesday night, he preached a message about what can and cannot be converted. And all of these messages, the ones from Mr. Creech and Pastor Garrison, if you haven't heard them, I would highly recommend that you listen to those on sermon audio. They'll definitely be a blessing to you. But again, in that message, Mr. Creech pointed out that the old nature will not die once and be done. It's got to die daily. If we say we have no sin, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So Mr. Creech told us that the old nature can never, never be converted. But what can be converted, he gave us five things. And I'm just going to give you that outline and the scripture passages and hope that you'll listen to those things on sermon audio. Five things that need to be converted, that must be converted, is number one, our understanding. In our understanding, he referenced 1 John 5:20. Another thing that needs to be converted is our hope. And he referenced John 5:24. Another thing that needs to be converted is our faith. And that's Romans 4:1. Our desire needs to be converted. It's 1 John 3:2. And our fear, 1 John 4:18. Mr. Creech reminded us that we need the wisdom of God to make right choices. So in light of these messages, the Lord laid on my heart to talk about 2 Peter chapter 1. And that brings us to what we're going to speak about. So 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, and I hope you do have them. If I had a title for this message, it would be a lesson on maturity. The Lord, through Peter, wants to remind us that we need to be moving toward maturity and shows us how this can be accomplished. We learn how to be discerning Christians and to be able to know how to identify the difference between true doctrine and false doctrine, and how to be in remembrance of our soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your many blessings and allow us to be here this morning. We do pray, Father, that your Spirit would be our teacher this morning. We know without your help and without your wisdom, without your love, without your grace, we can accomplish nothing on our own. And we're so grateful for your love that you have for us. We're so grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to die on our place on the cross of Calvary. We pray, Father, this morning that you would help us to learn that we don't need to be complacent in our Christian life, that we need to be growing and to understand the depths of your word and how we can attain spiritual maturity. Pray that you would help us to honor you this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at chapter 1 of 2 Peter. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So that's our passage this morning. And if we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. If we want to be a mature Christian, if we want to learn to know what it's like to be a mature Christian, we have to learn to be a servant. Peter had a lot of things to learn as we look back in his life. But a servant's heart is what the Lord wanted Peter to have. And he did that, or he is that servant, as he ministered here to the saints in Rome, serving the Lord and teaching them the importance of God's word and growing in the faith. So Peter was the servant that the Lord would have him to be. And then it says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. We know that Peter's talking to the Lord's people, his saints, because they are of like precious faith. And I want you to point out and just remember the word precious faith, because we're going to see that word precious again. And I think it's in a good context that we can look at the words precious. And it says, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The like precious faith that Peter was writing to is to the Christians here in Rome. Christians, he describes those as having the like precious faith. We can reference that to Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. To lay aside every weight, and this is where Pastor Garrison was preaching from, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. This like precious faith was obtained because of them trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, I would describe Peter as a pretty strong apostle of Christ at this point. But what's interesting, if you were probably to poll individuals and ask them about Peter, the biggest remembrance about him would be that he denied the Lord three times. And even though Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death," Peter denied the Lord, even as Jesus said he would, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. If you would, turn with me to Luke 22, 31. Luke 22:31. And it says, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, Peter had to learn a big lesson here. Peter had to learn that he had a big problem, and the problem was himself. One of the things that when the Lord was saying that Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, is something that Peter learned, and he expounded on that. Look with me quickly at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. This is what he learned back in Luke 22:31. He learned to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That was one of the lessons that Peter learned in Luke 22:31. But what did the Lord say after that? He says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And that's where we're at in 2 Peter chapter 1. I found Peter here. I believe that in our book, this is where we find Peter strengthening his brethren as the Lord commanded him to do. That's the graciousness and mercy of God. And if we continue in verse 1, it says, "Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter's recognizing that the righteousness of God and our precious faith is only through what the Lord did for us on the cross of Calvary. And that grace that he bestows upon us, Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That faith is the faith that God gives us, not the faith that we have in ourselves, but the faith that God has in himself, that he's able to do what he says he will do. And Mr. Creech points out many times that in human faith, there's always an element of doubt. But if you notice again that Peter says, "Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Another thing that Peter's doing here is he's recognizing the deity and pointing out the deity of Jesus, being fully God and fully man, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's look at verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge and of Jesus our Lord." Peter is teaching us the importance of the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's imperative to have faith according to knowledge. If we look at John 17:3, and I'll just read this for you. It says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." But I would like for you to turn with me to Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9. And it says, "And be found in him, having not mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. This faith that we have is because we know God and have a personal relationship with him. That understanding that we get in 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The word knowledge in 2 Peter occurs 7 times, and they all are in reference to Christ. Peter ends the book, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter wants his brethren to have the absolute assurance of salvation and to have the boldness to preach the word, to be on the lookout for false doctrine, and to be strong in the Lord and to be ready at his coming. Let's look at verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's interesting that Henry Morris in the Henry Morris Study Bible points out the repetition of the words all these things or these things. And so if you would look at verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. And look down at verse 8. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and purged from his old nature. Look at verse 10. For the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in present truth. Look at verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. When you look at the repetition of the word these things, read again at verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has provided it. God has provided it. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If Jesus freely gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness, how does he impart that blessing? Look at the next part of the verse. Through knowledge. Here's the word again, the knowledge. Peter wants us to understand the knowledge about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through knowledge from God's word of him that hath called us to glory by virtue. This is where we behold the beauty of the Lord and understand that we need to be different from the world. We have been called to glory and we've been called to virtue. But where do we stand with our walk with God? Are we resting in his divine power? Are we resting in God's power to make us what we ought to be for him? James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's look at 2 Peter verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Have you noticed the pattern here, the words given? That I mentioned to you before, remember the word precious. Precious faith in verse 1. Verse 4 here, precious promises. Knowledge of Him. I believe that the Lord emphasizes these phrases when He does it. We need to take note of them. Like in the reference of God so loved the world. The word so makes such a big difference to the importance of the language. He gave us, he died so great a death and delivered us from so great of death. But He's provided so great a salvation for us. The word so is so important to understand and to recognize. And so here we see precious faith and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. And so here it is. That's our new birth, the divine nature. The new nature that God gives us as salvation. 1 Peter 1:21 says, "Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See ye that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." The end of verse 4 says, "having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." If we're walking in the Spirit and dying to ourselves every day, understanding that the old nature has to be placed on the altar of sacrifice daily, we can escape the corruption of this world through the lust. John tells us in 1 John 2:15 to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Once you're saved, the Lord wants us to start to grow. He doesn't want us to stay and enjoy that sincere milk of the word. He wants us to be able to partake of the strong meat. But add to your faith and keep adding. So the first thing that He tells us to add to our faith is virtue. And I looked up each one of these seven attributes that Peter wants us to add to our faith. And virtue is word number 703 in our Strong's Concordance, and it means graciousness or gracious act or excellence. So we want to add to our faith goodness and graciousness. The second thing to add is knowledge. And here is our word again that Peter's emphasizing. Knowledge, that's word 1708 in Strong's Concordance, and it means wisdom and doctrine. The third thing to add is temperance. Word 1466. Temperance means self-control, self-restraint. The fourth thing to add is patience. That's word 5281. That means steadfastness, constancy, and endurance. The fifth thing to add is godliness. That's word 2150. And godliness means reverence, respect, and piety toward God. And sixth thing to add is brotherly kindness. That's word 5360. Brotherly love or love for the brethren is what's intended there. And the seventh thing to add is charity. Word 26, and that means love. And each time you see the word charity, at least in my mind, it reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13:2. It says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." But Peter tells us in verse 8, "For if these things be in you," those seven things, "if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here's that phrase again, these things. If these things be in you, and not just in you, but abound, then make us that we shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would look to with me at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So Pastor Garrison was telling us in their recent message that anytime we see the word therefore, we're supposed to look to see what it's there for. So let's back up just a couple of verses to verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 5. And it says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who are reason, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he's reminded us about looking at what those words mean and the knowledge from God's word that teaches us correct living in a corrupt world. It teaches us about discernment, and that's how we grow in the Christian life. This is how we learn about the perfecting of the saints. This is how we are to grow in our walk with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that word stature is talking about age, maybe, and also maturity, maturing in the Lord. That verse 14 of Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So it looks like if I'm reading 2 Peter, Peter's been listening to Paul's preaching quite a bit. And he's been pondering these things because he's emphasizing in 2 Peter chapter 1 about being maturity, not being children anymore. And here's Paul saying the same thing. Don't be children, but grow up in him in all things. But if we look at verse 9 in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, but he that lacketh these things, and that's our phrase again, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So those seven things that we were just talking about, if they're lacking in the life, Peter says that we're blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that we've been purged from our old sin. If we're blind and cannot see afar off, when I think of blindness, I think of not being able to see at all. But Peter mentions we cannot see afar off, which I'm thinking that if I'm understanding this right, that we can see close up, but not afar off. So that would put us nearsighted. So I'm thinking that maybe he may be trying to imply that we're just looking at the things that are surrounding us right now and not looking at eternity. The eyes in the Bible are a symbol of understanding. If one is completely blind, you have no understanding. But there's a distinction here that we cannot see afar off. So I take this to still be meaning that maybe we're talking about someone with the like precious faith, but one that's not growing in the knowledge of him that hath called us from to glory and to virtue. They lack the wisdom that's gained by following the Lord closely. You know, Peter can warn us about these things, and he can warn us about following the Lord afar off. There's an account in Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. Matthew 26, 57. And it says, and they had laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. This account is just before Peter denied the Lord. So Peter can warn us, and he can attest to the point that we can get to the point that we forget that we've been purged from our old sins. We read those accounts and understand what Peter did is when he denied the Lord, he went out and cursed. But, you know, after that third time and the Lord, Peter heard the cock crow the third time. What did he do? He went out and wept bitterly. So Peter learned these things, and these are the things that he's imparting to the saints here at Rome. Verse 10, it says, "Wherefore the rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." So give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Peter wants us to examine ourselves to make sure that we know that we're saved, to make sure that we have this precious light faith, to lay hold on the precious promises laid out in God's word. We can do this by the understanding that God gives us in his word. We can trust his word and we can trust his heart, because if we do these things, we shall never fail. So in summary, and I'm a quick preacher. So in summary, it says Peter is wanting us to be sure we have obtained like precious faith and have the divine nature that he was pointing out there. Lay a hold on the precious promises of God's word. Have these things to abound in our life, to grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, and to be able to discern true doctrine and identify false doctrine, and also to look for the coming of the Lord. So those are the things that Peter is trying to impart upon us as you look through this whole book of the Second Peter. And I hope that as we have pondered these things, that they have stirred up some things in your heart. I know as I was going through this, the words "these things" kept popping up, and I couldn't help to notice, are these things in my life? And so we want to examine ourselves to make sure that we are where the Lord wants us to be. If there's a need that you can see that can be fulfilled, do it. And that's how we can be a servant and continue to grow in maturity with the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for the word that you've given us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're able to take the words as so poorly presented, and you can make them a message to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us in the days ahead, that you would help us not to be satisfied with where we are in our Christian living, but that we might be growing on and looking for these seven attributes to be adding to our faith, to allow you to work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure, that you would help us every day that we would die to ourselves, that you would help us to be able to hear the words when we see you face to face, "Well done, that thy good and faithful servant." That's only because these things might be in us and abound. And we pray that you would help us to do that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.